We back. Welcome to another episode of the Highline Podcast on the Kona Sports feed. Fortunately, we haven't been able to be consistent with the episodes for the football season because there was a holiday and then we have work, plus still school-related exams and everything, but promise is going to try and make it different from now on. But yeah, so this is
when do we now decide that this is going to be consistent? What day do we say?
Oh yeah, every Monday. Expect a new episode of the Highline Podcast.
Okay, Mondays. So schedule has changed now. Mondays are going to be Highline Podcast. And
just because we spoke about it, and obviously everybody wants to hear their thoughts on the weekend games as soon as the weekend is over. So what better day to drop it than
on Monday?
Monday.
All right, fair enough. We can do Mondays. Then in due time, we'll announce all the other podcasts to see how it's going to be in terms of the Highline, the Courtcast. This season's not started yet, but we are trying to be consistent as usual. And for the Connect Extra side, we're going to start being consistent as well. We'll release, and from there, we'll go on from there. That's okay.
Yep. But by the voice, I'm going to do this intro till you guys get tired of it. But you could tell.
I think they're tired, man.
It's the voice of reason, the voice of truth, the man who speaks the truth, only the truth and nothing but the truth. Shout out those with the 100% records. We see you. You deserve this. And then with me is a rejuvenated Man United fan, somebody who doesn't care about, claims to not care about ball anymore. But you should see this guy watching a Manchester United game.
Guys,
I was almost a victim of one of his accidents when they were 4-0 down to Brentford.
What happened? What did I do?
You stole me remote.
No, I didn't store the remote. I stole it on the ground.
Yeah, but the remote hit me.
That's crazy. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But yeah, it's me again. It's Funto back here. I wouldn't say I'm rejuvenated. I would say I am a little bit happier because it's you know when you say you're down bad, I was literally down bad. But yeah, we'll go into more of that
as
the episode goes on.
So I think there's no better place to start than at the champions, the current champions, Man City. 3 games into the season, 1-2 games, drawn 1. That was a classic Barclays game on Sunday against
Newcastle.
Kieran Whippier, bro.
You talking Whippier?
That free kick, I think out of the 4 direct free kicks he's taken, he scored 3 since he came to England. Wow. Since he came back to England. ASM, bro. Just legacy play. I never want him to leave Newcastle.
Guys,
just,
you know when they say, like, goals and assists will always ruin the game?
Bro.
But there are players that, regardless of their goals and assists, I want to see entertainment. There are many things, like you're talking about Ronaldinho, Messi, all these players, Neymar. They are players that you know that we want them there because they're the last of the dying breed. Everyone is so systematic and everything. Fam, I want to see Joga Bonito, man.
ASM should be Brazilian. I don't know where he's from, but he should be Brazilian, bro. I don't think I've seen somebody have Walker on ropes like that in a long time. Even Vinicius did well, but like
Vinicius was not as good as him.
Not like what ASM did on Sunday. And to start with Man City, they had a pretty good start to the season. KDB is on fire. He's on fire. First of all, you think about the game against West Ham, the pass to Haaland.
And you know what? People said that, like, me, I saw the goal, I was like, okay, that's the footprint. That's literally the footprint.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that a million and one times this season.
That's the footprint for me.
But then he took it over to the next game against Bournemouth. Mm. That outside foot finish, the improvisation, perfect placement. There was literally nothing the keeper could do about it. It was, oh my God. And then you think of, in my opinion, the most underrated player in the Premier League, Gundogan.
Ooh.
Gundogan.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I'm hearing a lot about Gundogan.
I literally said towards the last episodes of last season that I would take Gundogan at Arsenal in a heartbeat.
That's a classic player because you know when they think about someone who can qualify as a 6?
As an 8?
As an 8.
Bro.
And as a false 9. he's done it all, like, just
everything. Bruv,
Gundogan is so great in terms of, like, you just see how he plays football and you're like, this guy's too technical. Even in Champions League final, that Pep started him as a six. We act like Gundogan has not done that too many times for us to even, like, quantify.
And that's the only thing missing from his CV right now.
Champions League,
Champions
right?
League, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
This man has played in a club midfield, in a Pep midfield, in a Joachim Low midfield. Like, you need more. He needs more respect on his name. Culture Comms calls him Gundo the Great for a reason.
Nah, Gundo is great. Like, Gundogan has done Lampard. Gundo has done the Busquets. Gundo has done he has done it all. The things. Like, you can't really say Gundogan has not been respected Gundogan has not done it all, because everyone thinks he's one of those silent guys who don't talk much about. Mm-hmm. But when he, like, I remember 2020 season, that was 2020-21 season, when he won that goal scoring stream. I'm just like, that's when I knew, okay, this guy is great. But when I keep on reading and understanding about him, just like, Gundogan has done it all. He just needs a Champions League. And the fact that he was about to leave Man City this season, I'm sure Pep was like, no, relax, fam, relax. Yeah. And then his last day of his contract, I want to see his last where he goes next.
Then for me, the three standout players so far have been KDB, Gundo, and Bernardo.
Bernardo hasn't even played that much minutes, to be honest.
No, but what Bernardo did against Newcastle was...
Can I also talk about that KDB assist for Bernardo's goal, the third one? I looked at it and...
What shocked me is, I think it's only two of them that saw it in the whole of the stadium.
I don't even think Bernardo saw it for me.
I don't know.
I don't even think Bernardo saw it for me.
No, the movement was so intricate that if he didn't see that pass, he probably wouldn't have been able to score.
Like, Bernardo must have been like, oh, he's making a pass to me. Like, you know, in that split second decision, you can make it, because I think footballers are quite fast. But for me, even Haaland, if Haaland was drawing
his reaction,
Haaland was like, yes. Because for me, it's like, you have the timing, the touch of the pass, the strength of the pass,
weight of the pass,
that's the right word, has to be timed so perfectly for that to work. Because Bernardo was not even making a run that you could say, like, Bernardo was literally just standing the last man and was able to make that little run.
That's what you call defense.
Jesus Christ, man.
And that's what's so scary about City. They're getting dominated, getting outplayed, two goals down, all of a sudden, boom, boom, tie game. That's exactly what they did against Aston Villa. Aston Villa were 2-0 up on the last day of the season. Yeah. All of a sudden, boom, 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 they won the Premier League. Like, that's what's so scary about any team who's in competition with City.
Can I ask you, know me, one thing I've told my friends and everything, I like to ask questions to shake tables and ask. I want to know if it's just me, but it seems like this City might not be the... They will win the league for me, but it's just like, would they be that fluent? Because even Pep complained a lot was it Pep or Bernardo that complained at the post-match conference where it was like, we started forcing the ball a lot.
I literally said they're probably going to have to get used to playing with a striker. Now, Haaland is Haaland. Haaland starts for almost every team in the world.
Almost or every? Maybe by Madrid.
PSG.
Madrid and PSG. Let's
be
honest.
Yeah, Haaland starts for literally almost every single team in the world of football. So you sign Haaland, you get better. But like the movement, the passing, everything just doesn't seem as fluent as it was last season.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's just how City start the season normally, because normally they don't start the season on fire and then all of a sudden they go on that run from like October to December.
13 win or 17 win, where they just be like, oh yeah, this is our time to win the league.
Yep, so that could be it as well, but they're not just looking as fluent as they normally are. But obviously, I give it by January, you would know that a City team with Haaland is not one to be played with.
Haaland is like going to the World Cup as well too.
Although they have lost key players in terms of depth, Sterling, Jesus, Zinchenko. I think that's all. Sterling, Jesus, and Zinchenko, but they were pretty huge members of that Man City team. They got the left back from Anderlecht, Sergio Gomez.
Sergio Gomez, yeah. And you know that City's talent ID is second to none.
The only problem I have is if Bernardo leaves.
I don't think Bernardo leaves at this point.
If he does, and West Ham sign Paqueta before City do get him, that could be a problem.
Paqueta deal is stalling.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to go to West Ham.
I don't know if his agent are in London.
I think he'd rather Newcastle over West Ham, because Newcastle have been interested for a long time.
Listen, we'll go into Newcastle later. But like for me, that City team is like, you know, people always think that once you add a striker to a team,
mm-hmm.
it's 1+1=2. Mm-hmm. There was this article I was reading about football is not just 2+2. Add a striker is more goals. There are a lot of things that take away from that.
And Chelsea is an example.
Chelsea is an example. This was an article on United, actually, where they said that you can't just add goals, because what the thing is that minutes from the other players are beginning to take it away. Because, like, you know, some players need a lot of time to score goals. They do miss chances. Some other players will need, various facilities for them to work in this situation. So mm-hmm. if you just add Holland into this, at some point it's going to be like, there's going to be goals taken away from here.
No, but at some point, it is going to work.
It is going to work.
It might just take a while.
It's just going to. I'm just saying from an analytic perspective, I see why it's going to take some while.
Yeah.
But some players might suffer from it. But at this point now, you have Haaland.
But they still have that quality to put them over 85% over of the Premier League teams, which is why they will end up winning the Premier League.
So you think, but are they going to get another 90-point season this season?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think the league is going to be won by?
I mean, Liverpool is not impressive right now. They can turn it around, but as of right now, we have people. Wait! Don't set me up. I don't know, man. I don't know. They could well win the league by like with 85 points, but then have a 10-point gap on second position.
85. For reference, I think Spurs, this isn't that the so-called challenge for the league by Leicester. I think they finished with 87.
Nope. Leicester finished with 81. Arsenal, 71. Spurs, 69.
Oh, sorry. There was a season they finished with 87. I've forgotten.
No. I don't think Spurs have ever gotten up to 7 points in the Premier League.
But I know they finished with 80-something on the point.
It was United that finished with 81 points the year City were centurions.
Oh.
That's why Jose calls it his biggest achievement.
Which... in the limelight, I might apologize to Jose at some point, although I don't like him. But yeah, So City, I think, yeah, like it's gonna be.
There's gonna be moments where you're going to question the Haaland signing.
But we know,
like we already saw that against Bournemouth, where he had 7 touches. But
we know
what's going to happen.
We know, because it's again like Pep just makes you feel like. You know when they say you have a generational coach?
Facts.
Or you have a generational player where you have to be like...
And they have a generational coach and a generational player.
Players. Some players.
No, but the standout generational player in KDB.
KDB there. So it's like...
And then can we talk about Rodri?
Rodri hasn't started good season.
No.
But last season he was that guy. You know how they were doing PFA, which is why I'm saying awards in the football, man. I think fans, we need to start finding a way to award players or something like that. But the thing is that's never going to work because everyone has their own bias. So
that's the issue more and more for me.
Because Rodri is that guy.
Yeah, he had a really good season.
Last season.
I don't hear anything.
No, just keep going.
Yeah, so let's move on to Chelsea. I don't know what to say about Chelsea. Well, I have a lot to say about Chelsea, actually. They were very unimpressive in their first game against Everton. Didn't really do much for me as far as I'm concerned. Cucurella did come on, did play well. And then they absolutely dominate Spurs. Like, they completely... took them apart. They were the better team in every facet, won every second ball, created more chances. Rich James was looking like an absolute monster out there. And they lose on a very useless VAR call. they lose a point. Mm-hmm. They lose 2 points on a very dumb VAR call. And then Harry Kane ends up heading in the near post and he celebrates a draw and calls it a winner in the post-match conference, which showed you all about Spurs mentality.
It did feel like a winner, bro.
Bissouma was doing ole, 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 celebrating a draw. Hashtag Spurs will be Spurs.
But I think there's context to that, though.
Nah.
I think there's context to that, which is why I don't think Spurs will win.
Every other team will get murdered for doing that. Every other team in the world. Arsenal does that? What?
Arsenal did that. Guess who did that?
Lacazette.
Sure.
Exactly. And you could see players running back.
Yeah, yeah.
And Ox literally tried to drag him back.
It was Gabriel, but yeah.
No, it was Ox. Gabriel was Polisa was celebrating with him. Then Ox tried to drag him back.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But what I would say is that, you know what, Spurs have not won in that place a long time. Spurs are down bad. Let's be honest, they are down bad.
It's not like they won there.
It's not like they won there. And I get what everyone is saying, but that was literally the last kick of the game, though.
Nah, for Bissouma to do ole ole, nah, I'm sorry, that's not it.
Sorry,
for people who are supposed to be title contenders, that's not it. But with Chelsea, and then they get slapped up by my boys. Obviously, shout out Leeds.
I'm gonna call everyone out. Everyone slept.
Shout
everyone
out
really
Leeds.
Kind of slept on Leeds, you know.
Shout out Leeds, my boys. They've had a really good start to the season. They've been really impressive.
2 wins, 1 draw.
Yeah, except the game against Southampton.
They were 2-0 up.
They were 2-0 up, and then they threw it away. And then they slapped up Chelsea. And I'm going to big up one of my guys, Humphrey, because he's been saying it for so long. A conversation needs to be had about Edouard Mendy. Because after the mistake against Leeds, I saw some clips on Twitter. And West he Ham. Makes... these mistakes so
West
so
Ham,
often.
Real Madrid.
Leeds. There was the one where he gave I think it was that West Ham game where he gave the penalty away.
Oh, that was two in that.
Yeah,
West Ham
he gave
game.
The penalty away and then he hit Masuaku's cross inside. Yeah. Was that West Ham or Brighton?
That was West Ham. Masuaku.
The Masuaku cross was West Ham.
West Ham.
But like the
he
one
gave
where
away, he gave away penalty.
Lanzini.
He
yeah, yeah,
West
yeah.
Ham
yeah,
too
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and he just seems very error prone. He doesn't seem extremely comfortable with ball at his feet. Rich James got absolutely dunked on by Rodrigo. Put him on a poster, bro.
Oh, like, shout out Rodrigo, man. 4 goals in 3 games.
He's playing like he was in Valencia. When Arsenal played Valencia Europa League semi-final 18-19, it was him I was really worried about. Even though eventually he didn't end up doing anything.
Yeah.
Him and Gamero really put fury in me. And then when Leeds got him, I was like, oh, that's a really good sign.
But, you know, all this last season, like, his goal scoring for the last few, 2 seasons has not been great.
Yeah.
But he has stepped up and walked into that Bamford role
Sinisterra.
No, Sinisterra has not even played. The guy you need to talk about is Brandon Harris and that American boy.
Yeah.
You know when everyone, you know, like
yeah, he even scored no.
You know one thing about, like, Americans is, like, that the way he pressed...
Mendy, yeah.
That's the way the Americans train. You have to run. When you're doing tryouts, you have to run. If you can do that, there's almost more than 15K. If you can run that, that's how you know it's a road runner. That guy keeps running.
Big up Jesse Marr. He's done a great job.
You know, Tyler Adams and Mark Rocker. I don't know. Maybe my friends.
I like Tyler Adams.
My guys have told me that I have mid players. Okay, sure. I have mid players, but those guys are good.
I like Tyler Adams. I've always liked him.
And Jesse Marsh, I'm happy for you, bro. You're doing it for us.
Yeah. And then Tioko, bro. First of all...
How are you pronouncing... How are you spelling that Tioko?
It depends.
what's
it depends on whether they win or lose.
What's your spelling of Tioko?
Tommy Tioko.
Tioko.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's not looking good, bruv. It's not.
I'm sorry, but I know Chelsea... Chelsea are Chelsea. I still think, yeah, they'll be in and around it. But I just, you know, when you have a silent doubt in your system something.
Yes. I don't know what Anthony Gordon for 60 million is going to do for this Chelsea team. Like I said,
AG Baby is a baller, though.
Huh?
AG Baby is a baller.
Man, you stay hyping mid, bro.
They said I'm hyping mid. I still think he's a baller, but
he's good. But there's what's the difference in him and Hudson-Odoi?
To be honest, and you know one thing, I thought Antonio Gordon was like 18. I realized he's 21 years old,
bro. And he's still pretty young, but
3 months younger
60 than million? So you're telling me Everton are about to make 120M from Richarlison and Anthony Gordon? That's
business.
Man.
That's business.
I don't know about that. Aubameyang will give them goals.
But he's about to come for 30. Barca are a corrupt organization. I can't lie to you, but...
I don't know about the other signing. I don't even know if he guarantees goals anymore, seeing his last two seasons with Arsenal.
Two or six months.
Last two seasons with Arsenal.
Sure.
The season after he signed the contract. To say he guarantees goals is just...
And the problem is that
I'm not sure about that anymore.
Ask people, like, you know, someone was like, do you remember the last Arsenal signing to come via Barcelona? I was just like, Fabregas was 26 or 27. You want to compare 23-year-old Aubameyang on the decline? There are many, many factors. And for me, I'm just like, my own is that Chelsea, I understand that just coming back from a place where they just got their club back, there are a lot of inconsistencies, there's no direction yet, the board are just settling down. I get that. But there's a doubt in me. You know, I said it before that one thing I was listening to on Stoppage Time TV was Chelsea had misprofiled their players.
Yep.
They just think they can, with a bunch of players, they can just walk around. That's why, and...
That 2020 window is the definition of not signing profiles, but signing players.
Like, look at Timo Werner now.
Ziyech, Werner, Havertz. Had no clue how they were all going to fit into the team.
Someone was telling me Havertz was going to play as a right. I said that he has never been a right winger. Playing as a false nine, number 10. Look at where we are now. Did you also see a stat about Timo Werner and Kai Havertz?
No.
Timo Werner has left right.
Yeah.
But at the time he left, I don't think Havertz has even scored a goal. At this moment now, Timo Werner has left and is on the same amount of goals as Kai Havertz.
Yeah, Havertz.
We need to have a conversation about you, man.
Havertz is just... I don't know. I was never really convinced about him. Then he scored the Champions League final goal.
But he's living up that task.
I felt like his hype was so dead up until he scored that goal in the final.
Mm-hmm.
And then he went through the roof. And it, in a sense, made some of the stuff he did last season appear better than what he actually did.
Plus Lukaku's thing as well.
Yes.
Plus the Lukaku situation as well.
And now we're starting to see, like, even Sterling. Sterling is not that...
Sterling
is not the problem in Chelsea at all.
Yeah.
I think he had a couple good runs in that game against Leeds.
Yeah.
It's just I don't know how he fits into Tuchel's system. I just don't know how everybody plans. Like, if they get Frankie, I don't know how everything is going to work. Aubameyang.
My fear always, even with that Frankie thing, is that Chelsea sign best players, but they don't know how to use them. It's the issue of misprofiling. And I think they said it on Stoppage Time TV. Like, Loftus Cheek. I'm sorry, but the funniest thing someone told me is that at this point, might as well play Loftus Cheek as a striker. I was just like, what the hell are you saying?
Nah, man, he should go for Love Island.
Like, Loftus Cheek, bro. Like, Loftus Cheek, I don't know.
He can't. I don't rate him. I've never rated him.
Even, like, I still even. Like, maybe they need to move away from this three at the back thing.
That's a possible solution, but then Thiago Silva might not survive.
And if he doesn't survive, that's the point now, at this point. Maybe he just plays.
And then spending 80 million on Fofana, who absolutely got rinsed by Martinelli, by the way.
I think his head was not there in that game as well. But you see how many question marks you have about Chelsea? Question mark, then, question mark, question mark.
Like I said, I think I was talking to one of my friends and we're talking about Koulibaly. With Koulibaly, yeah, you're either getting a world-class Koulibaly or you're getting the Koulibaly that, like I don't know. Like, he looked really good against Spurs and then he looked completely out of place against Leeds.
Another thing is that I noticed because of maybe... It depends on the team Chelsea plays now. Because Spurs are quite passive in their defensive phase.
Mm.
When you now think about Leeds, Leeds are more active and everything.
And then Reece James should not play RCB for Chelsea ever again. Ever. Ever. Like, it shouldn't be happening.
You know, I keep telling people that if you want to continue this back three, Harry Maguire is a good signing. I'm not even saying anything about you guys. I'm not saying anything like being banterous and everything. But Harry Maguire in a new environment, back three, that's safety.
I don't know about that, Chief.
I'm sorry, but I think he will be good for Chelsea. But Fofana is there, and you people have to spend the money like
18, so that's 80 million on Fofana, 30 million on Oba, 60 million on Anthony Gordon, and it's us FFP you want to look into. Come on, bro.
No, come
and on. And you already spent 60 million on Sterling.
Like the and 37 million on this.
Uncle Ibali.
Like, the thing is that we talk about spending, but the amount of money Chelsea are spending, knowing that they were in Champions
League. It's like what Gary Neville said with Arsenal last season, even though it was totally wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't see what the recruitment strategy was. And as it stands right now, I don't see what the recruitment strategy is with Chelsea.
Like Oba, there was even Benjamin
Sesko. Like, I get Cucurella is a good player, but do you spend 60 million on Cucurella when you have a gaping hole in terms of a striker?
You know what's also funny? They're like, Cucurella can play left wing. I'm just like, you people are misprofiling these players. And when these players are absolute crap.
And I'm not sure he can play outright left back.
Left center back.
Oh, in terms of a back three?
No, he can play as a left center back.
In terms
because
of
in Getafe, I think he played in that position.
In terms of a back three or in terms of a back four?
Back three.
So if they had to switch to a back four, I don't know how well he performs as a left back.
The Brighton, what position did Brighton?
Left wing back.
Brighton played three at the back, yeah. Right? Yeah, that's true. So you see, all these questions are my own. Because people think it's just about signing these players. It's the same thing for Lukaku. Let's be honest, Lukaku might not be great and he might have his problems, but Lukaku was misprofiled. Lukaku was misprofiled. I'm not his biggest fan, but Lukaku has been misprofiled in England too many times. Lukaku was misprofiled. And now if he balls out in it, everybody's going to call up. But Lukaku was misprofiled. Loftus-Cheek, what's he doing on the right wing back? Although in their offensive phase, he does invert to go into the midfield. But all these situations of asking, like, that's why I question Chelsea. It's like, there are too many questions here. To Cucurella thing, they have good players. Good players might end up bailing them out. But the lack of a goal scorer in this thing, the lack of Mason Mount.
Lack of a potent goal scorer. Mason Mount.
You know what someone said? Someone
very, very good eight. Like, he could thrive in that number eight.
Exactly.
But having him out on the right wing.
That's the thing. Continuous misprofiling of players. Havertz, I don't even know what to profile him at this point. But I still think the first nine might be his best position at this point. But it's just so many questions. Rich James, RCB, your most creative player when you do in a team lacking creativity. Gosh. Conor Gallagher. Here's my issue with Conor Gallagher. I love you, bro, but I don't think you'll work out in Chelsea.
Yep.
You are a mid-table top player. That is my own consideration of Conor Gallagher. I'm sorry to say, but there are some players that are just good in just mid-table players. Like now, West Ham, they want to sign Conor Gallagher. And I was like, they're like, Conor Gallagher, Rice.
Conor G, Rice and Suchek might be a midfield.
No, Suchek, Paqueta.
Oof.
That will work. But that's the issue of Conor Gallagher being played in a two midfield.
I would have played Gallagher more. I think he's way more press resistant. I think he's way better in the initial
phase.
Phase.
That means that you need to replace. That's a Jorginho replica. But I think who they play in the midfield. I think Jorginho and him and Gallagher.
That
doesn't mix in a two.
Yeah, Conor Gallagher is not good in the initial phase. His build up was extremely poor on Sunday.
Exactly. So he's more further up the pitch. I don't know why Fred came to my mind, but he's more better further up the pitch there. Because he is the one that is a press monster and all of that.
Yeah,
he's
Arsenal away at Crystal Palace. He destroyed us.
That's why for me, maybe the only way it can work out is if they're moving further up the pitch in Chelsea. But
I don't know how good he is up there.
Huh?
I don't know what to say about Chelsea. They have a lot of good players, but then football has grown past the point of just having good players. There has to be a system, and then the profile of the players have to fit the system. Then everything has to gel, and like it doesn't look like it's gelling for Chelsea right now.
I think we always talk about profiles because we'll end up talking about Casemiro later. For me, profiling is more important in football. As you grow older in something, you realize that's why Arsenal, they are next, right?
No, it's Spurs.
Okay. Spurs, we'll talk about Arsenal. That's why the great teams, City.
Just look at Man City if you want to talk about profiles.
And even Arsenal at this point. You know the mix is working. It's like putting food together. You can't put sugar in rice. You can't be like, you know what it is going to happen. Mixing food together, it has to stir up into a nice food. You're cooking. So for us to now talk about, okay, you want to sign someone. I've just been hearing Chelsea fans.
And it just seems like a lot of it seems like panic buy.
And a lot of things is like, it's just names. Like, it's like, that's why I question now. Fans saying transfers and everything.
At the end of the day, we could be wrong. They could go and finish top four.
To be honest, and I'll raise my hand, I'm wrong. I will be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I will tell you now that my questions have continuously been, like, it's not that I'm being, although I'm a hater sometimes, I can say when I am just having questions about this team.
But yeah, we have to move on to Antonio Conte's Tottenham. First game of the season, everybody was like, wow, Kulusevski. A man said, is there anybody who has acclimatized to the Premier League quicker than Kulusevski?
Aubameyang.
You know, there's a million and one people.
A million and one people there.
You know, that's what everybody was saying. Spurs look scary, this, that. Second game of the season, totally outplayed by Chelsea. And then they picked up a point in the last minute, literally last second of the game.
By and then the last Cuti game, Romero pulling somebody's hair.
Yep. Should maybe he should, I mean, he came out and said he made the mistake. The VAR was Mike Dean. Yeah, he came out and said he made a mistake. And then the last game against Wolves. I thought Wolves were the better team, even though Spurs eventually...
Spurs are quite passive.
Yeah.
Which is an Antonio Conte thing. Antonio Conte is more focused on controlling space rather than pressing.
I've been impressed with Perisic, though. I think he's been their best signing so far.
That doesn't shock me at all.
I've been impressed with Perisic.
The 3-0 that Perisic is eating the Prem. That's what I'm saying. This league, it might be great, but sometimes you overestimate what it is.
No. I've been impressed with Perisic. Kane, Son. Spooky. Where are you, mate? Like, you need to, when you put out an AP for Son, where are you? Where are you? Your season needs to start if Tottenham is going to do anything. Kulusevski has been below par the last two games.
Son is a purple patch merchant. I'm sorry to say. He is a purple patch merchant, bro. Like, he will score 10 in a row.
There are some, even as an Arsenal fan, there are some North London derbies where it's like he does not exist.
Sure at all.
And then the ones where he exists, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's it. So for me, like Spurs Conte,
I like the dynamic Richarlison brings when he comes off the bench.
He seems like he's a dog.
Yeah. Bissouma, he hasn't really had much time to show. When Bentancur, never really been sold on.
Cuti Romero hype. Let's talk
bro,
about
I
that.
Bro, I don't understand it. I really don't. Like,
Cuti Romero hype.
He's a good defender. Uh-huh. He's a really good defender. But I don't get how he gets placed in the same breath as some of these other center backs. I don't see it. I really don't.
Takes you far. That's the problem.
I really don't see that. That's what, he's like Lamella.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the greatest defender out there, honestly. Or maybe I'm just hating because he plays for Tottenham. But I can acknowledge players who play for Tottenham that are really good. Harry Kane, the blind can see. Son, I rate probably more than Funto. Perisic, I just gave his flowers. Bissouma, you can never hear me talk nonsense about his name. I've come to the conclusion that Kulusevski is a really good footballer. But you see, Christian Romero and Hugo Lloris, I can never rate the two of them as much as people do.
I don't even rate Hugo Lloris like that anymore.
I can't.
But he's good. He's a good shot stopper. For the way Spurs want to play, Spurs are not player from the back.
They're not very expansive.
They don't understand the dynamic. And someone has been saying that they do miss a creative player in that mid.
They don't?
They miss a creative player in that team.
The last creative player they had was Eriksen.
We can even say the last creative player was Kane.
Exactly.
It's pretty much Kane.
I mean, but then we've seen this story time and time again. Kane and Son will bail you out of so many issues that you have.
And Kulusevski.
They will bail you out of so many issues that you have.
But it depends on the player Kulusevski faces, though, every weekend.
What do you mean?
Like, it depends on... Kulusevski is great. He's good. I did not rate him even in the time when he was
in Juve.
But Allegri is Juve as an institution, I don't...
No, Allegri is just a wicked person.
Bruv, Allegri is... Allegri once said that, what is all this talk about formation and all of that and tactics? It's like, just put players on the ball, defend, and get the...
Allegri is a very wicked person.
But yeah, like, Kulusevski, I think he will be good, but I always want to watch who he's playing against. Depends a lot. Plus, Antonio Conte, the passivity, they just learn to control space and go on the counter, which is what they did with Lukaku and everything. And he's won the league before.
That's what I was saying. I was saying Chelsea should do a swap. They will give Conte Lukaku and they get Kane.
Like, literally, that would be good. But at this point now, I think Harry Kane, fantastic. 250 goals for one club. 185 goals, beat Aguero's goal record.
For a single club.
For a single club as well, too. So that's fantastic.
But for me, it's just crazy that you did all that and you don't have any accomplishments.
It's painful. It's painful. Absolutely crazy. I actually feel your pain. Like, I actually can feel so
it's
much
funny. Pain. You're a Spurs fan. I take the mick out of Spurs. Spurs player, sorry. Mm-hmm. I take the mick out of Spurs every single time. We know deep down you're an Arsenal fan. I take the mick out of Spurs every single time I possibly can. But 185 goals without a single, not even a Carabao Cup, is extremely sad.
Sad. It's genuinely sad. We have to say the truth. Like, there is no point.
It's extremely
like
sad.
Like, all the past goal scorers have something to show. Even
Shearer has a Premier League title.
With Blackman, he has a Premier League with Blackman to show. So, like, Andy Cole, all these players.
Thierry Henry, Sergio Aguero. They all have something to show for
their goals. But hopefully you change. But I don't think it maybe you might win a Carabao Cup, but that Premier League, I still see you guys challenging because it's Conte. It's just Antonio Conte.
I don't know about them challenging.
But their challenge will not last long.
To be honest with you, I don't know where I stand with Spurs. I feel like because of how much respect I have for Conte,
You don't speak.
They are a nailed on top four team.
Yeah.
Nailed on. I just don't know. I just cannot predict their season as it stands right now.
Or
match week 30, by game week 30, I won't be able to predict their season as well.
Spurs are not going for the Champions League. That's one thing. People need to look at Conte's European and Cup record.
I don't know what to expect from this Spurs team. But I just know they're going to be a nailed on top four side.
That's something.
And with Conte, it's either you are a really good team or you like what happened in his last season in Chelsea.
That was a bad fallout. But sure, that's Chelsea on their own.
We'll see what happens. Let's move on to the team with the only 100% record in the Premier League, top of the Premier League, best chance in the Premier League as it stands. Vibes are smooth. Vibes are rosy. Everything is nice. Everything is cool. Let's go. Let's move to the red half of North London. Arsenal. And
I don't know how to sing that song.
I myself don't know how to say it. The only part I know is Saliba. man, vibes are amazing. Everyone keeps saying, oh, they've only played this, and this. But guys, Crystal Palace away, St. James's Park away. Those are the two stadiums in the Premier League. You just have to go in, do your job, and run away.
Literally run.
Just run away.
Don't stay an extra minute, bro.
And then the way we handled Crystal Palace, shut up shop, dominated them for the first 15, 30 minutes. And then after that, they had two shots on target through the game, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Arsenal got completely outplayed. It's just the Premier League. There's never an easy game in the Premier League. And there then you look at what happened against Leicester. Totally dominant. Gabriel Jesus. Oh, my God.
Okay, so how do you call Jesus for the people?
Jesus. Oh, my God. Jesus has changed my life. You guys have never seen me smile like this ever since this podcast started. Jesus has changed my life.
So he has a running hashtag known as...
Hashtag I survived Lacazette. And every single Arsenal fan, you deserve... Like, I'm here for you. You're here for me. Because we know what we suffered with Lacazette. Lacazette changed people's perceptions of what strikers should be able to do.
You know when you're settling for less? That's how it is. So for me, I don't know why, but nothing surprises me about Jesus.
Do you think about Jesus has done this? He has gone on one of those runs in every single game, once or twice.
None of this surprised me about Jesus.
The game against Crystal Palace, he went on that crazy run and Martinelli put the ball wide. Mm-hmm. Game against Leicester, he got the ball on the wing and he's like, man, I don't need nobody. And he just runs past people like they're not there.
No, the game against Leicester,
What do you mean? He's the one that I think Ramsdale kicked it long.
Oh my! I would give anything for that to have gone in.
That, I think it was on a hat trick at that point.
Yeah, he was. I would give anything for that to have gone in. So, and then you look at the game against Bournemouth when Ben White sliced the ball halfway in the air. Saliba. I was like, Benjamin, what are you doing, bro? Takes it down, goes past one, goes back to, plays a little reverse pass. The way he just goes past players like they're not there. Then you look at Martinelli. I've been really impressed with him these first three games of the season. His delivery is on point. His pressing seems better and more organized. That left-hand side, Zinchenko, bro. Literally one man poison, another man meat. Because...
Trust me, I don't think it's a case of poison. I think he just... You know when players say they need new challenges?
Bro.
I get it. Because at some point, you're just on a team.
In possession, Zinchenko is a level... I dare anybody out there that claims to know ball. Tell me what position Zinchenko plays for Arsenal. Tell me. Because I myself don't know.
He's an inverted left back.
This guy was building up. He was the initial phase. Guys, No.
I don't think you understand that. I'm not surprised because for Jesus own, I watched him in Copa America 2019. The one that Brazil
No, Jesus
won.
Is Brazil. If he continues like this, he went at that ASM bracket.
Guys, like, none of this surprises me. And for Brazil, I think he played in the right wing. And I was just like, okay. I see this guy. So all of these things don't surprise me. But when you're in a structured system like Guardiola's own, you actually understand that, you know, it's about possessing the ball, moving left, right, stay in the house space when you need to move, basically replacing each other in the house spaces, making sure you're this. But when you give that kind of player freedom, you realize he's from the streets, bruv.
We need to talk about somebody.
I don't think we need to talk about Pep because...
No, not Pep. Let's talk about somebody else. M8, Mikel Arteta.
Oh, fair enough.
Mikel Arteta. I you guys know Emeka. He's come on this show a number of times. He said, and I quote, "Arsenal fans don't seem to understand how well run their club has been under the administration of Arteta." Of course, nobody's happy about finishing 8th and 5th. But look at how you have gotten rid of every single person who can be considered deadwood. And look at your squad now. The game against Bournemouth, off the bench.
Compared to United and Chelsea. Compared to United and Chelsea.
Off the bench, we brought off Tomiyasu, Tierney, Nketiah, Smith Rowe, and Lokonga. And we still had Fabio Vieira on the bench.
Do you know Chelsea still have Baba Rahman on their
list? Do they?
Baba Rahman is still in that team.
Wow.
Baba Rahman and there were a lot of other
and
players.
And one thing I extremely love about Arteta is he's the one that made me understand profile is more important than position.
True.
You can't just look at the position a player plays and say, we should sign this person. No. If he fit, everybody calls Zinchenko a backup. They're like, he's not that great. Look at, I won't say single-handedly, but his presence alone, he has improved us in possession by tenfold.
Gravity.
You look at Xhaka in that box-to-box role.
Who would have ever thought that? You know, anytime I see Xhaka as an 8, I'm just like...
Xhaka has created the most chances for Arsenal this season.
It seems weird, but it seems right. That's how it is. Like, you know when you've seen a player in the role...
Just see him as a deep-line player.
Just like, what are you doing not further forward there? Then you're like, oh.
And then you look back, look at our defense... Ben White, Zinchenko, Gabriel, and Saliba. William Saliba. This is what you pay. You paid £26 million for a 19-year-old, and this is what you get in return.
You know, people are like, how is it just only 3 games? But, guys, you know when people in love, when they say, when you know, you know. That's how I feel about Saliba. I'm sorry to say. And I'm not an Arsenal fan. So, there are many things about Arsenal that I just look at and just like... Okay, it's okay. Like, you guys deserve top 4 this season, depending on Edu and all of
Gaspar,
that.
Gaspar, I've come after you so many times, bro. You know what you're doing. And then there's talk of Arsenal being in the market for Pedro Neto as well.
I don't see how that works.
What do you mean?
Pedro Neto signed a 5-year contract in March.
There's a top 6 release clause, like in Julius's contract.
If he has a top 6 release clause of 50 million, then everyone else around there is stupid. And nobody has bought him since.
I think it's going to be, if it happens, it's going to be more of an agent-driven deal because, because of how much how much of a role he has in, because we also paid, Fabio Vieira had it for something release, for something million pound release clause, and we paid 29 million for him.
But I thought it was 40 million.
Huh? No, we paid 29 million, then it rises up to 35 million.
Okay, 40 million. So, yeah, as far as I'm concerned, Arsenal are dead set on top four for me. Actually, I take that back. I want to see how they cope with Europa League.
I think we have depth.
You have to have depth. That's why that Pedro Neto. Bro, Bukayo Saka has played 100 games.
Yeah.
Rashford, this is one thing I keep on saying when people want to sign youngsters and they make youngsters their linchpin. Like, these players need time. Phil Foden, the fact that he has played, has he played more games than Phil Foden?
No, they've played 100 games, but Saka has played 2,000 more minutes than Foden.
Exactly. Out of the 100 games Saka has played in the Premier League, he has started 88.
88, yeah.
That is not good. That is absolutely not good for a kid at his age. That's why no matter what, the Phil Foden treatment and everything. Like, I understand for a centre-back that can work and everything, but to make a youngster your...
For me, I just want us to, if we get Pedro Neto, just drop Saka for like 3 games. Not because he's not good, just because he needs that rest.
He needs the rest. Rashford is right there. Like, Rashford has no
control. But in terms of coping with...
The only good thing that is good for Saka compared to Rashford is that Saka has consistent coaching.
Yeah.
He has good consistent coaching.
Yeah.
He hasn't gone through different managers. He hasn't been played through like a soap. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you will pay for your sins, bruv.
No, but with Arsenal, I think in terms of coping with Europa, I think we low-key have the squad to do that. Because we can play a completely different back five and still have the likes of Tierney in there, still have the likes of Tomiyasu in there, still have the likes of Rob
Ben
Holden.
White and Rob Holden can play the back
and
one.
Then you seem to like Elneny. There's a midfield of Elneny, Lokonga. You can still have Smith Rowe, Marquinhos.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Nketiah,
but you know it's not
Fabio Vieira.
You know it's not easy to just change players or to, like.
To I know, but like 11. Looking at the Europa League, Arsenal should be winning that Europa League. They seem like the best team there out of every single team in the Europa League, by some margin, except obviously Manchester United.
That team?
No, but. I mean, it's all good smiles for Arsenal right now. We're not getting ahead of ourselves. You can see me tweeting about title challenge, but obviously I'm just playing.
Hashtag standards.
Yes, high standards high FC. Standards. But like,
it's funny, but I don't like the issue for me is I want to see how it works in Europa League. But I see that you guys have the squad depth, and especially for that Saka
and
thing.
And if we get Pedro Neto,
if they get Pedro Neto, as far as I'm concerned. That scares me enough to say that might be a cheeky title challenge.
Not cheeky, but
you know
like,
when no, you know when they say cheeky, it's just
yeah,
like it's
it starts to resemble how Liverpool made their rise to the top.
Yeah,
you know, like everybody turns around and like, hang on a minute,
Pedro
Neto
is. Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. I've been screaming that boy's name, and I realized he signed a 5-year contract, and I was just like, but the fact that he has a release clause and all of that.
Yeah,
you know when, like I told you before, if a team is in conversation, that means there's a possibility.
Yeah.
That means there's
and they've been apparently they've been talking to Mendes for a month.
Oh, it's a secret winger, isn't it?
Huh?
That's a secret winger. Everybody knew, like, I mean,
yeah, but
if
we can't get Neto, honestly, give me Zaha.
Wolf?
Zaha.
You know Wolf is on his last day of contract.
I've said this a million and one time. Zaha is one winger in the Premier League that can come to Arsenal and can win us 2 to 3 games on his own.
Yeah. And he has added goal scoring to
his on his own. He will win us 2 to 3 games on his own. If you're I don't care
what
how old
Emery
he is.
Cooking?
If we cannot get Neto, give
what
me Zaha.
Was Emery cooking?
Give me Zaha.
What
yeah.
was Emery cooking, bro?
But that's it. We spent a lot of time. Let's talk about Liverpool and United.
Let's talk about Liverpool.
Tarzan, it's not looking good, bruv. I don't know. First of all, Klopp with his lineup selections have done Liverpool no good because
why
I don't understand. I don't understand why he played
Fabinho.
No.
Sorry, Henderson, Milner, and Curtis.
Harvey Elliott.
Someone said this thing. If you look at it, even in a, that sometimes can like if you look at that thing, that's just like
that is a mediocre midfield.
What?
That is mediocrity. And I've been saying this about Henderson since, God bless his soul, wonderful sports prefect, the best one out there. But he's just not quality enough for Liverpool.
His time has come and gone. The little time he has.
You cannot rely on Naby Keita and Thiago because they are made of glass. Curtis Jones. Now drop Fabinho. Even though he hasn't had the best start of the season, give me Fabinho 8 million times over Milner.
But if you now look at it, their first two games, they were bullied. Like, did Fulham shoot up that day?
Mitrovic put Trent on a post.
Mitrovic might be putting us. Look
at me. VVD, you're not a model. Right? You're not a model. Defend. Stick it. What was he doing for Sancho's first goal?
Aura defending.
What was he doing for Sancho's first goal?
And I keep saying it that he's not the. He has been comfortable for the last three games.
Yeah.
For the last three games. Yeah. You think about.
Yeah.
The first one, Mitrovic.
The Mitrovic penalty.
He didn't want to engage.
He down. Yep. Yeah.
Zaha's own. Another player will be running at him, but VVD is covering space. Like,
That's the same thing he did against Madrid in the Champions League final.
You know, I was telling you. You need to engage. That Madrid own. Imagine if he just engaged a little. Valverde is going to the corner.
I don't know, but there's nothing as bad as that Sancho one though. I don't know what he was doing. Milner was on the floor. I don't understand. A normal centre back, even though most people don't rate Ben White, he's throwing his body at that ball.
Every centre back
should throw their body at that ball. That's what you should do.
No, you should not be standing.
At least give your keeper a chance to recover.
You should not be standing. Like, no matter what anybody wants to tell me about, he wasn't covering.
He was literally flat-footed.
Like, what is this?
I'm sorry.
Or someone said, this is what man was doing in front of goal. That is weird. Like, for me, it's just like, what are you? No. That's at that point, you know, like, I know maybe someone said he's saving his dribbling stats and everything. As far as I'm concerned, look at the way Milner, a 36-year-old training. Who are you?
And then Tarzan got sent off against Crystal Palace.
Nunes?
Even some Liverpool fans, like, they know, like, he's not. First of all, Firmino is a dusted baller, bro. Firmino, come on, I don't think
we should give up on Nunes.
I love Luis Diaz. Luis Diaz is a top three shot creator in the Premier League.
But he's gonna get it.
And once he starts clicking, he's going to be a problem.
That's the thing.
He's going to be a problem. You would be seeing goals like the one against Crystal Palace on a regular. With Darwin Nunes, I just don't know. He doesn't have the technical security.
You were blue tick. Now you're,
bro. I like. You know how much I like footballers with techers.
Obviously.
But he just.
No, the thing is that Nunes has that chaos factor. Nunes has that chaos factor, which will always come into play. But my question is that sustainable for them?
People always question Jota in terms of his technique, but
he is better.
Nunes is worse.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. And Liverpool, in terms of the title race, we have people saying the title race is already over.
Bro, and that is how close the title race.
Yeah, and don't call them crazy because they're already what? Six points behind City.
Five.
Yeah, 5 points behind City, 7 points behind Arsenal, even though Arsenal will end up not being.
But those numbers do matter. Those numbers do crazily matter. And
I don't know.
My question is that, okay, everyone is like, okay, the Liverpool midfield, we have Naby Keita, who is sometimes good.
Made of glass.
Sometimes. Then we have, what do they call this?
Thiago is a game changer, but he himself is made of glass.
That one is made of glass. 5 weeks. It will not shock me if he doesn't make that World Cup team.
Bro, I'm just saying, Liverpool, it's not looking good. We have to move on to United. And
Wait. But who else is in that midfield that we can see?
Fabio Carvalho should get a run in midfield.
Oh, they need to start playing. That boy is a proper.
He should get a run in midfield. Eight,
like proper attacker on the left side there that can actually work well with Luis Diaz.
Yeah.
But they need to, like, it's time to take the point.
Mm-hmm.
But dropping Fabinho, Henderson is a backup. Trent. It's clear that everybody's attacking Trent.
Bro.
It's clear. Let's be honest now.
It's clear that everyone is picking on Trent. I don't even think he was that bad against United. Matter of fact, I think he was one of Liverpool's best players.
It's clear that they're picking on him at this point. We need to start being honest that it's clear that you were picking on him. He's a great attacker. And I know you have to choose your poison. You have to choose what's the right word? You have to choose what you want in football. you are picking his attacking talent over his defensive weaknesses, which are okay.
No, I don't know. Trent, I don't think Trent was that bad against United.
No, it's not even about United, but most of the goals have been...
Yeah, but half the fullbacks in the Premier League are getting dunked on by Mitrovic. No, especially when they are blindsided.
But you know that United, that was where they attacked from. Look at Erik ten Hag's plan. Erik ten Hag's plan was literally that. I think that would be the segue to United. Erik ten Hag's plan was literally.
I think it's more of Gomez than Trent, to be honest, because Gomez was shocking that day.
Joe Gomez, I don't even know what to say about him.
I'm always willing to give Trent the benefit of doubt because I rate him so much.
No, I do rate Trent attacking wise, but that defensive.
I think in terms of picking on him, his fans are picking on him. I think they over-exaggerate bad he is defensively. Coach,
like Elanga started on the left wing. Okay, they said.
How many fullbacks in the Premier League today have good 1v1 ability?
Rich James.
As I said, how many?
Just a few.
Rich James, Kyle Walker. Who else can you name? Tomiyasu, I guess.
Wan-Bissaka.
Tierney. Even though Tierney gets spun a lot.
Chilwell.
No, I don't buy it. 1v1. Winger against Chilwell.
They're going to come for you, bro.
1v1, winger against Chilwell.
I just mentioned it. I'm not saying, I don't think, I believe you. I'm not as convinced as you are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, most fullbacks in the Premier League these days, mm-hmm. 1v1, isolated against wingers, they're not winning that duel. Of what I'm saying from Malasia, he could be part of the people that win those duels. But like, I'm not extremely... too much blame is being put on Trent for these losses.
I'm not blaming Trent.
He's been the only one to have performed to his standard offensively.
I'm just saying that people are actually... Like, coaches are now picking on Trent more and more.
And that's on Klopp to find out how to work on that.
That's the thing. If they need to find cover, maybe that's why Fabinho should have started. Because Fabinho would have covered that back.
For Man United, though, this is just the exact game that they needed. And for a whole week, I was telling Emeka, I don't know. I have a feeling. I don't know.
I didn't have the feeling because
Liverpool is not impressing me. I genuinely have a feeling that this would not go well for them. Mm-hmm. And then once United started that game that way, I knew they were going to win. Why? Because I've seen it time and time again in North London Derby.
When the team starts that way.
When you start that way, literally running for second balls, winning second balls, creating chances, winning every duel you have, and then you get the crowd involved, odds of you losing that game, especially at home, are minimal. And that's exactly what United did from minute one. Engaged in every tackle, won every second ball, created a chance with Elanga. They got the fans into the game, and there was no way back for Liverpool.
That's true. Yeah, and one thing that actually, that also reminds me of the Liverpool-Arsenal, the 4-0 game, when Arteta and Klopp...
That one is not even a serious rivalry. If you want to look at anything, just look at Arsenal-Spurs last season. 3-0, 3-1. Mm-hmm. When Ben White won that first tackle, look at the way the crowd engaged with them. And that's what Teta told them in the dressing room. When the crowd engages with you, they're going to give you something different. They're going to give you another gear that you can go to. And the fact that it's a debut alone, you're already fired up. And then given everything they had gone through at the start of the season, it was just the perfect, in hindsight, obviously, but it was just the perfect time for them to play Liverpool. And they went out there and they did their business.
That's crazy. I did not even think. Let me not lie to you guys, I am still very negative about the season. I still think we can't finish. Seven.
It could very well turn the season around.
It could turn the season around, no doubt. But there are many, many doubts in my mind.
Bruno had a really solid game.
Bruno is a chaotic.
Bruno, even though he sometimes on the ball he looked very shaky.
Christ, man,
his pressing was amazing. He ran for 90 minutes nonstop. Elanga was causing Trent problems in the first half. Rashford, after that goal, just looked like he got his swagger back. Martial.
It's 9 a.m. every year, every time.
Martial is a baller.
Guys.
Sancho scored, but I think he was the least impressive of the attackers.
That's true.
McTominay should be starting for Man United.
McTominay was good. But
Eriksen, the whole back line played their lives out.
But can we now...
Can we now speak? Malasia, he got that dog in him. Varane with a competent partner next to him. We see what he's made
Lisandro,
of. Dalo.
It's my own. Stop hide shaming. I'm tired of it. Bro.
I don't buy it.
What?
I don't buy it.
Stop high shaming.
He's still going to get targeted. This is the Premier League.
He's still going to get targeted.
This is the Premier League.
But the times
League.
He has been targeted, he has not failed yet.
What are you talking about?
Against Brentford, he did not fail.
So like, when Ben Mee just shoved him like he wasn't okay, there to score that third goal.
After that, what else?
Yeah, but everybody keeps saying he hasn't lost an aerial duel. How many has he had? How many has he contested?
He has contested quite a lot.
No. Check his stats.
But okay, but the thing is that that's my fault. He hasn't contested. He hasn't. But the issue is that there's not been analysis enough to shoot. Let's see. I'm not saying he won't be picked on, but let's see.
He will be picked on. The way you're saying Trent is getting picked on.
He will be picked on. But let's see if he rises up.
But the thing is, Lisandro is a warrior. So he's going to show up and try and pack himself. I've never said he was not a good player.
Yeah.
I just said I wasn't sure about him as a centre-back in the Premier League.
But yeah, the first two games were horrible. As far as I'm concerned, they were just horrific.
And they even had Ten Hag swearing on live TV because of how well they played.
Bro, the hair is still a problem, and he will continue to be a problem.
I mean, they're trying to get Dubravka.
Who is worse? This is my problem, United. That's why, as far as I'm concerned, the one game, I'm still living up the high. It's been a long time since my team played well. But as far as I'm concerned, to live up that high is just like deceiving yourself.
No, I could very well turn the season around, like the way Arsenal's win against Spurs did for us last season.
Dubravka?
Not Dubravka, I'm talking about just the win.
Oh no, it could, no doubt. But it's kind of spilling the limelight on Harold Jacob Maguire. Who will eventually come back into the team, but I think he needed to step away from everything. Like, for me, I don't know. For me, I'm just like, you know what, Maguire is okay. He's not the best. But now with a DM in Casemiro, who, like, you know when you've seen this before, 60 million plus 7 plus 10 million add-ons.
I'm going to tell you what I told my friends. I said Casemiro doesn't scare me.
I know.
They said why. I said it has nothing to do with Casemiro. It has more to do with the team that Casemiro is signing for. Mm-hmm. I've seen United go out there, break the bank, and get these world-class players.
Only for them.
And
too.
They play for them, and you're like,
The only thing that gives me hope is that you have a competent coach. That's the only thing that's giving me the hope.
Yeah.
The little hope. For me, Casemiro is great. 5-time Champions League winner.
He's a great signing.
And the problem, he is a great signing. You know what? It is the signing we've been craving for years.
It's a great signing.
But every time I think about it, I think as soon as I saw
Casemiro. It's a season too late.
As soon as I saw Casemiro, I was just like, the player that you could have paired him up with, who would have progressed your passes well, has just left. So that is the whole problem about United. Buying Casemiro at this time, buying all these players at this time. I just, like, for me, I don't think it just makes us maybe...
I mean, we just have to wait and see. I can't predict anything about United season from now henceforth, especially with the Antony conversations.
Which is horrible. I'm sorry, but 80 million on Antony?
We'll see, but, I mean...
80 million British pounds.
What a win for Man United.
No, 80 million British pounds on Antony? Well, like, you people just need another midfielder. As far as I'm concerned, just give me Tielemans, bro. Give me Tielemans. I don't know if Fabian Ruiz is still available. I just need something to happen, like, with Casemiro. And we need a goalkeeper. Because De Gea scares me. Although he showed up that game. Which, by the way, Ten Hag, for me, that Liverpool game, he gave me hope. Because, like, Ten Hag kind of realized that, okay, you guys can play from the back. And you guys are not stable. Let's go long.
Hmm.
The hair cannot play like we let's go long and we win the second boss. That's why we're so active in that point there.
But yeah, quickly, you talk about Newcastle, Palace, and Brighton. There's something about Graham Potter, and I love it.
He's not going to be England manager.
I don't want him to be England manager.
I'm sorry, it's not going to work as England manager.
I want him to stay at Brighton for as long as he possibly can, because his talent ID is just something else.
No, that's Brighton's talent
ID. Brighton, did you see the Japanese winger, Makoto? I forgot his name.
I haven't watched that one yet.
He came up and just lit up the game for 5 minutes, for like 15 minutes straight. Not West Ham, the game before West Ham. I can't remember who they played. I think it was Wolves.
Oh, yeah, that one.
He came in and just everything went crazy.
Bro, Brighton is a fantastic club that I just like.
Brighton,
no matter how much
Crystal Palace.
Like, can I just speak on Brighton? Brighton for me is the structure of a war on club.
Graham Potter has always said that we know we're not going to go above, but we just want to be in around that middle and keep grabbing and keep grabbing and keep grabbing as little as little. Danny Welbs showing up again, bro.
That guy Welbs
showing up again. New Mopi, I think, is off to... Fulham?
Yeah.
I thought it was not... Sorry, everybody's new to Nottingham Forest.
I think it's Fulham. Mm-hmm. Because there were talks about him and Leno. How were they going to...
Yeah, that's true. But Leno is actually in Fulham, bro.
Yeah.
This is Super League. I just realized that.
Mopi, but Palace, for me, are the... Palace and Newcastle are edging out for the best of the rest, for me.
Palace did their job, bro. Palace did their job. When you watch that Aston Villa game, which, by the way, Stevie G, I think we as a podcast app, might are selling our stocks. You know, we all give him hype.
Emi Timothy sells stocks in the Latin call. Oraman, that's what
Oraman,
he is.
Oraman, bro. Do you know that he has a worse record than
Gary Neville,
at Valencia?
Yeah.
That is spooky as...
It's not looking good.
You're fighting with various players in your bruv.
Him and Tyron Mings fell out apparently.
Like, there's a lot. Even Ollie Watkins too as well.
Nah, Stevie G. I'm sorry. I have been wrong.
Maybe we're too early on you, bro.
Frank Lampard as well. Everton are just not looking.
Alex, it would be though.
That's the best thing Lampard has done ever since he became a
Alex
manager.
Alex Iwobi, though, like, putting midfield. Yeah. Like, you could see he's always been in number 10, not even from his Arsenal days, bro.
The number 10 with no end product.
Huh?
In number 10 with no end product.
Fair enough. Or a midfielder, basically. But, like, literally, like, Crystal Palace, Newcastle. Guys, you know what we're talking about Brighton? You know who Brighton's former sporting director is?
Who?
Dan Ashworth.
Is he at Newcastle?
He's now at Newcastle. Bro. So that's how you know that these guys, you know, everyone's like, oh, they're going to buy Lingard, the Dele Alli's, all of these younger players. No, they're like, no problem. We'll just do our business silently.
Bro,
Bruno G.
Alexander Isak. I think he has that Gabriel Jesus mold in him. Just a young
end product.
Yes, I know. A younger version. On the ball, he's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bruno G. Let's not even talk about Bruno G, man. Let's not even talk about Bruno G.
Bruno G starts for many Premier League
Let's
teams.
Not even talk about Bruno G right
many
now.
Many. Chelsea. Every top Let's six team starts even for talk them,
about,
bro.
If Arsenal had Bruno G, oh my God.
Is that it?
If we had Bruno G and signed Pedro Neto, I would be shouting title challenge.
It's weird, bro. Like, a lot of things. Like, Newcastle, they're well run. Alexander Isak goes for 60 million, which for me is just like, okay, you know what, fair enough. We don't know.
I think it's a good signing.
I know it's a good signing, but it's a good signing for where they are, knowing where they're going to build.
Then Eddie Howe, I apologize.
Bolu gives you your credit every single day.
I apologize.
He wanted you at Arsenal.
The man actually took time away from football, said, I might have made some mistakes, went, sat down, relent his whole craft, came back, and now, as far as I'm concerned, he is what him and Graham Potter are what the media think Hazard and Lampard are.
Hazard.
Sorry.
Gerrard
and Lampard.
Which is Hazard. Yeah, Newcastle are fantastic.
Man,
Newcastle are fantastic.
PL is the Super League right now.
Yes,
man.
Let me tell you. Joelinton conversion.
Whoever did that,
bro,
deserves a raise.
I've been screaming it since last year, since I was like, Joelinton has an 8. It makes sense.
Whoever did that,
whoever thought of it, bro, I'm sorry,
raise.
But that is fantastic.
A massive raise.
Joelinton has an 8. Every single day, I watch him and Bruno G do work. I'm just like, this is
Joelinton has an 8 is a problem. It's a problem, but it just goes through the PL, the Super League, because now we're hearing Isak to Newcastle for 60 million.
Morgan Gibbs-White, Nottingham Forest,
and
that
then,
just came.
Paqueta to West Ham. Bro, a man said Kakare is going to dominate French League only to find himself at Brighton next season.
And you could see it. That's the truth. You can see it at Brighton.
The Premier League is becoming something else. I'm not even going to lie to you.
So that Super League was basically for those guys, for the other... The
Premier League is about to become something else.
No easy games, bro.
There have been no easy games for the past 2 years. Except, like, Norwich. Even Watford, they're not an easy game.
They're not easy game, too. Like, it's actually no easy game.
Nottingham Forest making 16 signings. Who sent Awa to Nottingham Forest? I was on my knees for Awa 2 years ago.
Has that been confirmed?
I don't know if it's confirmed, but like...
It's one of those things on the table. But Morgan Gibbs-White, the fact that they can spend 45 million, like, aim to get for 5
million. I was telling Arsenal to tweet hashtag hour for hour when we're in for him 2 years ago, and he's off to Nottingham for who would have thought, bro?
But yeah, let's move on. The league is
Premier League is just something crazy.
Transfers, you think?
Not necessarily, but in terms of transfers, PSG have won the transfer window as far as I'm concerned.
PSG, yeah. I would say it's a World Cup tax thing because we don't know what.
Not even from a player perspective, from a manager perspective as well.
That Christophe Galtier guy.
Bro! He has them cooking on all cylinders.
Oh, bro. The problem is that, you know, when like you just allow the guys to play ball, just put them in a place where they are. Structured defense.
I think this is more than when, I can see a structure. Yeah. It's not just go out there and play ball. I can see a structure. And then there are signings as well. Vitinha, Renato Sanchez. I heard they were going for Fabian Ruiz.
Mukelele.
They signed Mukelele. Bro.
They signed Mukelele too. And,
I wonder if they have a left back though.
Then Bernat and they made Nuno Mendes permanent as well.
Oh, Nuno Mendes is permanent. Bro.
And they signed this good Ekitike guy too, bro.
It's looking scary,
they've
bro.
They're about to sell Paradise. They're about to sell.
Even though we might not have enough time to talk about the whole Neymar and Mbappe thing, PSG is still looking very scary.
No, but they'll figure it out. They can keep all their differences for 1 year and be like, let's go for it. And Neymar is serious. Neymar is
balling out.
Everyone keeps on talking about, you know, the way kids talk about Neymar diving. I'm just like, you guys need to relax. Every it's the last time, of his kind.
Every time Neymar gets the ball, do you know what I hear in my head? Paradudu, bailo. Because that the Neymar, Messi. I'm not Messi's biggest fan, but I've watched two of PSG's games now. He's cooking.
All of them are cooking.
Number 30 is cooking.
And I just think it's just this World Cup thing. There's something about that World Cup. But that's why my question is, like, after the World Cup, will we see the same? That's the problem.
Oh, I think so. I think it goes beyond the World Cup. I really think it does.
Okay.
I think it does. I think they're hungry to prove they can win the Champions League.
Mm-hmm. Any issue?
I don't have them winning the Champions League right now, but I think they're hungry. And then Barcelona and their doings.
You come Ansu Fati.
I slept on him. What I saw on Sunday, I slept on him.
Ansu Fati.
I slept on him.
Ansu Fati. Like, me too. I'm still sleeping on him. Let me not lie to you. I'm just like, you know what? You're good. You're good. You're fantastic. But I look at our Barca team. It's scary too.
Yeah, but...
I mean, I think about it.
By the way, they got drawn against Bayern in Champions League.
They're drawn against Bayern.
In group stage.
Bayern, Barca, Inter. Lukaku back in Europa League.
No, I don't want Inter to come to Europa League. Arsenal needs to win Europa League.
Yo. That's what I'm saying. So either one of Bayern, Barca.
Okay, then Inter should come.
Barca or Inter, bro. Barca have squad depth. I just think it's mad. But I want to see how Xavi does this year.
Yeah, I really want to see how he does.
Because that's a lot of players.
I want to see how he does. Barca, Lewandowski, Rafinha, Koundé, Kessié, Christensen.
Unregistered Koundé.
And
unregistered.
He's not registered yet.
He's not registered yet.
Oh, as for me, I also have somebody I'm keeping an eye out for. Araujo.
Ronaldo, yeah. Araujo.
Every single time I watch Barcelona, he stands out in that defense to me. They might need to get a new left back.
And a right back too. Araujo is a center back, you know.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So I don't even know what they're doing. But like, Barcelona look good, but just keep calm.
Yeah. And then with Real Madrid, the return of Eden Hazard hasn't gone according to plan.
It's not looking good, bruv.
I think it's done.
I don't think it's done. I just think it was just one misspend, bruv.
I think it's done. It's not about the misspend. It's about the gameplay. He's just not Hazardous Hazard anymore. He's just Hazard.
£80 million on his last year of contract.
Yeah, I don't think he gets an extension. All that being said,
I don't think he's on his last year of contract. Or is he?
If he
2 years left.
Wait, when did he sign? 2018?
2019.
Okay. So I think he signed a 4-year deal.
Yeah, 4-year deal. We'll see.
That means next year is his last year. 4-year deal.
I mean, I think it's a 4-year deal or 5-year deal. I can't quite remember, but let's see. Let's
if he is in his last year, he could well come back to the Premier League and Real just ball out.
This will be honest, ball Real out. One of the best run clubs in the world.
Yeah, man. I feel like they know when to release players while they still have value.
At the right time. There's the right timing about them. But also think that Real Madrid, you know when you get to a point where you're just winning too much and you're just like,
I'm going to try this.
I'm going to try something. And I'll still get my bag, bro. That's the thing about Real Madrid.
And then they've gotten in Tchouaméni, Camavinga. I mean, they're just in the process of phasing out their old midfield three to bring an even as demonic a midfield three as the other one. Like,
it would take time. I think, like, I don't think it was the right time.
And I like how... You don't think so?
It was the right time. I think they needed one more season in Casemiro.
I don't know, but one more season might have degraded his value. 60 million for Casemiro.
No. I'm saying for the team itself. I think they should have waited one more year. That bedding period.
Apparently, Man City were alerted to the availability of Casemiro. So I think it's something that... But like they opted for Calvin Phillips because of his on-ball ability and Casemiro's age as well.
Calvin Phillips is out injured again, though. In the World Cup, it's looking spooky. I think we're done here.
We've come to the end of another episode of the Highlight Podcast. We promise more consistency. Thank you for listening. Give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter. Tell a friend to 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 listen to the Highlight Podcast. We'll see you in the next episode. Have a lovely day.
We out.
Goodbye.